You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. And just a reminder, there will not be a show Friday. We're still on a summer schedule. Next week, the fall semester starts, so we're on a Monday through Friday schedule. I'll be glad that happens because it gives me more time to do post-production. In the summer, the campus is largely closed, and as a result, I get behind in doing the post-production. So I hopefully, by the end of next week, I'll be all caught up, and we can go on a regular schedule where usually I give the show between 5 and 7 Monday through Fridays. So if you want to listen to it, then you can, or you, like most people, I would say 99% of my listeners, what they do, they download it as a podcast. They go to ProntPops.wordpress.com and click on the shows you want. At the very top, you have the most recent 60 to 80 shows. Below that, you have my show prep, information about the stories I'm covering, both YouTube videos and articles, charts, cartoons. And at the very bottom, you have a complete listing, the archives, if you will, of all past shows. So if you want to listen to a show 10 years ago, you can do it. Yeah, 10 years ago, I believe I started this. So now, what's in the news today? Well, if you're in Texas, and hopefully you're not in one of those small towns, apparently someone has attacked 23 city computer systems. And the reports are saying it's a single actor. We're not talking different organizations attacking these cities. It's one entity, whether that's a person, who knows. And it's using ransomware. What does that mean? Well, this is malware or malicious software. It's software. And usually the way it gets on your computer is you click on an attachment or a link, and part of the software, when you do that, it puts this ransomware type software on your computer. And what does it do? I'm not going to give you the history of ransomware, but the most current versions, what they do is they convert all your files. They encrypt them, which means if you don't have the key, you can't get at your data. Your files are all converted to encrypted form. And without the key, and it's almost virtually impossible then to reconvert them back. So how do you prevent this? Well, here is a good example where an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, because first of all, you'd ideally want to have antivirus software stop that malware even getting on your computer. That's step one. And if it does get on your computer, the way you can quickly recover from it is to have backups. Usually in large organizations, they've made sure, or at least try to the best of their ability, to prevent any malware first getting on your computer, and if it's on your computer, getting off of your computer. But once it's encrypted, you have a choice. Either you pay the ransom, and some organizations do that. And this is a worldwide phenomenon. I picked this story because it's in Texas and it's impacting some small towns that don't have dedicated IT personnel. What they usually do is they have a software company, a provider of software handles the IT for them. And it's clear that these cities, that's sort of the common denominator, have all been hit and they can't get access to their files. So if they have, and most I would hope they do and should have it, backups. Now, one of the problems with backups is that you might have a backup from a day ago or an hour ago. It depends how often you back up your system. Preferably, it's an automatic backup as files change. So what it means is you're going to have to totally go back and delete all the encrypted files, and then you're going to have to reload a clean backup version. And before you do that, you better have the software that can stop this, or it can happen again. It's going to take hours, days, maybe even weeks to recover from this. It depends, again, on the size of the files you have on your computer, the data you have on your computer, and when was the last time you back it up. You most likely are going to lose some of the information. In particular, let's say ideally your last backup was an hour ago. Well, you'd lose an hour's worth of data. Conversely, let's say your last good backup, clean backup, was a day ago. You're going to lose a day's data. So this impacts negatively the institutions that are hit with this ransomware, because there's no way, quite frankly, you're going to be able to decrypt it. In other words, come up with the key. So that's the temptation is, okay, I'll pay the ransomware, but there's no guarantee if you do that, they're going to give you the key. Some will, some won't. And when you're talking individual, depending on how much ransomware they're talking about, people can't afford it. Small towns don't have big budgets. So it depends on how much money they want, if you're going to pay. And even if you pay, you might be out of luck. They'll take your money and say, sorry, we need another, whatever the dollar number is. So this is more than annoying. It's costly to those that are hit with this type of attack. And the small towns of Texas, not quite 24 of them, were hit. Will the person doing this or organizations doing this be caught? I don't think so, because many of them are, many of them are out of country. And what they insist on is being paid in Bitcoin, and more or less it's untraceable once you pay it where it goes. So this is a problem that needs to be addressed at the local level and really at the county, state level, because it impacts not only businesses. There have been attacks on, for example, hospitals. Imagine you can't get all of the data on your patients, the records. And the bigger the organization and the institution, usually the higher the ransom they want. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. That's why I say, even if you're an individual, you need to be proactive and spend some money on first stopping it, and rather be safe than sorry, have backups. So you need a good backup system, and you can buy it. It's going to cost you money, but a lot less money and a lot less heartache. You know, one example is, let's say you have pictures of your baby. You're a young couple, and you're hit with this attack, and they want, I just give a number, $1,000. You don't have $1,000. Well, you're not going to be able to get the photographs. That's just one, folder with many files that they'll encrypt. So you'll have the encrypt files on your computer, but you can't get at them. And what they're doing is destroying the regular files. Earlier in the history of this, they would zip them up. But now it's encrypted, and it makes it a lot, I would say, impossible. If you must back up your computer systems, the more frequently you do it, the better. But you have to decide, is that a minute, an hour, a day, a week? And then second of all, malware software. This is software. And when you make that click thinking it's harmless, well, you might have triggered, and usually do trigger, this virus spreading first all over your computer, and then you'll see a screen with a picture on it. What happened to my computer? Now, I'm not giving you all the details. Now, this is kind of a warning, though. You need to take corrective action. If you don't have backup files, most people have backup files. I certainly do. But when was the last time you backed them up? A month ago? Well, you could potentially lose that all the work you've done for that month. So backups are important. They can't be on the computer you're doing it with. Most people either have hard drives or flash drives where they put their important files, they back them up. I do that. I need to do a backup right now. I'm listening to myself and say, wait a minute, I know I need to do a backup, and what I need to back up to is my hard drive. It's been maybe 2 weeks, and mostly what I'm concerned about, what's changed, is the fact that I'm adding shows. And it doesn't matter if it's your own personal computer or your business. You need to first become aware of what the situation is, and what I've done is provide you a number of YouTube videos, background information, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about, that you need to be proactive. Otherwise, they're going to take advantage of you. Either you're going to lose valuable information, files, or you're going to have to pay the ransom, and even then you don't know if they're really going to give you the key. Some will, some won't. Keep that in mind. And if it's all over the world. It's not just in the United States. This is going on. And yes, there are software companies that provide you with backups, as well as trying to prevent this malware even getting on your computer. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not a IT or certainly not a programmer anymore. One time I was a developer and a project manager, so I'm somewhat more familiar than your average talk show host, although some know quite a bit about it. You need to protect yourself against the bad guys. They're out there, folks. And even if you work for a large company, because many large companies, institutions, hospitals, police forces are attacked. Don't think because you work for a larger company that they've done the necessary things that they need to do first to prevent even the viruses getting on your computer. But more importantly, actually, they're equally important. But no system is 100% accurate. In other words, if they miss one, it's a new virus and the antivirus software you have misses it. You still, when you click on that, what's going to happen is your files are going to be encrypted, and you need to have that backup. The more frequently, although it might be a nuisance, this can be done in the background, though. Okay, what else is in the news? There's a lot of news stories. Well, the week before, I was in two shows, made a point that Donald Trump, President Trump, would be making a big, big, big mistake if he went along with the Democrats in Congress that are calling for, in terms of gun control, a universal background check, as well as a red flag laws. I'm totally against them. We have many, many laws on the books that are designed to make it clear that if you, for example, or a mass shooter and kill people, if you're captured, most likely you're going to be executed, or at least in those states like Texas that still will execute people if you murder them. But does that stop them? No, it doesn't. No law, no regulation, no background check is going to stop the mass shootings. That's my frustration when I hear this. The overwhelming majority of the American people are law-abiding. And when I see, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, the reaction to a mass shooting is they want to make it either terrifically difficult, if not impossible, for people to buy guns for their protection. I get aggravated. Why? The law-abiding citizen is not the mass shooter. They need their weapons, pistols, whatever, shotguns, rifles, to protect themselves, their families, their property against the criminal element in the United States. Why our crime rates are relatively down, including homicide shootings. One of the reasons is most states today, you have, I want to say all, but as soon as I say all, I'll be wrong. Most states today have concealed carry, including Texas. In other words, if you pass a background check, meet certain requirements, training requirements, you can carry your weapon on you, concealed. Some states not only have concealed carry, they have open carry, where you can have it on, most people might have it on a belt, but you don't have to conceal it at all. Now, there are arguments for or against having both. I'm definitely for concealed carry. However, I can see where open carry, you can make a strong argument for it. I think what's going on here is many people, the majority of people today, live in cities. So they get somewhat nervous, especially if on your public transportation or someone's going up the stairs or elevator, they see someone with a weapon. Some people just are not comfortable with other people having weapons. Now, I'm not trying to force you to go out and buy a weapon to protect yourself. That's a personal decision. You got to decide, and it's really a case-by-case situation, and a lot of it is where you live. You know, I live in a city, and yes, although I can call 911, it could take anywhere from minutes to an hour or more before the police respond. Why? Because there's a line. You can't rely on the police, even in a city situation. They can't be with you 24 hours a day. You wouldn't want them to be with you. You need to take the necessary precautions, and where you're in a city where you have a high number of people that have weapons, what are you also going to get? A lot of criminals that have weapons. You see, the criminal element, whether they're gangs, drug dealers, organized crime, the law's not stopping them. They'll buy the weapons from either steal the weapons or buy the weapons that they want to use in their criminal activity. Keep that in mind. So Congress can pass any law, any regulation it wants, but it's not going to be effective. It's simply not going to be effective. As much as you might hate the gun violence that results from a mass shooting, passing a law to make you feel good is not going to work. You're much better, especially if up to now you don't have a weapon, considering buying a weapon and getting a concealed carry permit. That at least evens out the odds should someone try to break in your home and when you're home and you can stop them with the weapon you have. It's primarily for self-defense against the bad guys. But what are the first things the gun grabbers do? They go after the legal citizen and make it difficult for them and expensive for them to keep and carry weapons. So Trump has made clear he's backed off, and this is the key thing. I was warning people that any Democrat or Republican that comes out for these red flag laws or for comprehensive universal background checks, defeat them. And yes, Donald Trump referred to this. It is a slippery slope. What they really want is to take away your guns. This is a first step to do it, and that's what they're about. And they can say what they want, but ultimately, they're trying to eliminate your Second Amendment rights. The majority of the American people, by far, want to protect their Second Amendment rights, and they won't stand for any law or regulation that dramatically cuts their rights to bear and keep arms. So Donald Trump apparently got the word that the National Rifle Association, but a lot of his supporters, are not going to support either universal background checks or red flag laws. He's done a 180. Now, he's trying to make clear, though, that to the extent we have loopholes or weaknesses in the current, you see, right now, most people go through a background check. Not everyone has to, but most people do when they buy a weapon. And yes, there's some weaknesses, and it's really state by state, in the background checks. Keep that in mind. I'm not saying they're perfect. They are as good as the information is in the database. So where you don't, for example, where you don't have information on the mental illness or the mental stability of a person, you're not going to catch them or prevent them from purchasing a weapon. So he's left the door somewhat open. He still wants meaningful, intelligent background checks. That's where President Trump is right now. Let me play a clip, assuming I can find it. I have a lot of clips. This is a clip-heavy show, but I'm not playing them. The president was in the Oval Office. He has a visitor, and the press is invited in, and they ask questions. Well, several subjects were discussed. So the clip will not only be about guns, but also, and I'll highlight this, the president is getting a lot of questions as to whether or not the United States economy is in a recession. It clearly is not. And if you ask people, economists, financial experts, most of them, not all of them, don't anticipate a recession in 2019 and don't anticipate a recession in 2020. In other words, the economy today, right now, is not in recession. It's growing, growing, growing. And I was wrong about Thursday being the date we'll get the second estimate. It's actually the 29th. It's the following Thursday. And that's important because I think it's going to show the economy still growing. The question is, by how much? Is it going to grow at 2 to 3% or less than that or more than that? So if the economy is slowly decelerating, in other words, it's still growing, but growing at a lesser rate, what is the president considering? One is a payroll tax. The other is indexing of capital gains. So let's listen to the president.
Questions, John?
Mr. President, what sort of contingency steps or plans is the White House thinking about to stave off any kind of economic slowdown? We've heard that there's been some talk of a payroll tax cut kicked around, some other tax cuts. You've been talking about a cut in the Fed rate. Quantitative easing. What are you looking at?
Well, I'd like to see a cut in the Fed rate because that should have happened a long time ago. I think they're being very tardy in not doing it and not having done it sooner. They raised too quickly, and I've been quite vocal on that. They also did quantitative tightening, which was ridiculous. And so, and despite that, if you look, I guess you could call it normalized, but if you look, our economy is doing fantastically. And if you take a look at the previous administration, they weren't paying interest. They had no interest rates. They had loosening, not tightening. And frankly, it's a big difference. And our economy is incredible. Our jobs, you look at the jobs market, but you have to be proactive. And so we really need a Fed cut rate, because if you look at what's going on with the European Union, as an example, they're cutting. You take a look at Germany, what they're doing and what they're paying. I mean, they're actually doing something inverse they've never seen. Nobody's ever seen it before. We have to at least keep up to an extent. So right now we're paying a very much higher rate of interest, and we didn't follow the world. And generally speaking, that's okay, but you can't have that much of a disparity. So we're looking for a rate cut. We could be really greatly helped if the Fed would do its job and do a substantial rate cut. Also, they were doing quantitative tightening, very bad to do. They should do easing, actual easing, no tightening, or at a minimum, they should be doing nothing about that. But they have to do a rate cut. The other thing is, we're looking at various tax reductions, but I'm looking at that all the time anyway, tax reductions. That's one of the reasons we're in such a strong economic position. We're right now the number one country anywhere in the world by far as an economy. Europe's got a lot of problems, and Asia's got a lot of problems. You look at China. China's had the worst year they've had in 27 years, and they want to make a deal with us. But I can tell you, I'm not ready to make a deal unless they're going to make the right kind of a deal. I'm not ready to make a deal. So I don't know, but I will say this. Something will happen, maybe soon and maybe a little bit later, but China very much wants to make a deal.
What kind of tax cuts would you look at? We've heard again, potential cut in the payroll tax. Indexing capital gains, what would you accept?
Well, we've been talking about indexing for a long time, and many people like indexing, and it can be done very simply. It can be done directly by me. And so we've been looking at that. As you probably have heard, I can do it directly. So we're talking about indexing, and we're always looking at the capital gains tax, payroll tax. We're looking at, I would love to do something on capital gains. We're talking about that. That's a big deal, goes through Congress. Payroll tax is something that we think about, and a lot of people would like to see that, and that very much affects the workers of our country, and we have a lot of workers. Right now, by the way, we have more people working today than we've ever had before in the history of our country. We have almost 160 million people working today. I think the word recession is a word that's inappropriate because it's just a word that the certain people, I'm going to be kind, certain people in the media are trying to build up because they'd love to see a recession. We're very far from a recession. In fact, if the Fed would do its job, I think we'd have a tremendous spurt of growth, a tremendous spurt. The Fed is psychologically very important, less so actually, but very psychologically important. And if the Fed would do its job, which it's really done very poorly over the last year and a half, you would see a burst of growth like you've never seen before. And that would be lowering interest rates and maybe putting some, if you look at what China is doing, if you look at what Germany is doing, if you look at what so many countries are doing, putting some money in because we want to compete with these other countries. So I think that we actually are set for a tremendous surge of growth if the Fed would do its job. That's a big if, frankly. But they should. They should. The Fed should. The Fed should be cutting, and I would say they should say, at a minimum, 100 basis points over a period of time, not at one time, but over a period of time.
Well, I think Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board that Donald Trump appointed to that position, has gotten the message. I covered this last show, but I'll cover it again. I think Jerome Powell is going to go to a much easier monetary policy and is going to do exactly what Donald Trump wants. He better if he wants to get reappointed. But, and here's the but, the Fed is data-driven, and it depends how the economy is doing. Now, I have no doubts if the growth rates are below, let's say, 2%, Jerome Powell's going to act. The Federal Reserve Board will act. They'll go to an easy monetary policy. Conversely, I don't expect this to happen, but let's say the United States economy on a quarterly basis grew at 4%. They're going to increase. That's not going to happen because the U.S. economy is not growing at 4%. And I'll get to that as to why in a minute. So those are the two easy cases where the economy is demonstrably slowing down or demonstrably accelerating. The first, you get an easy monetary policy. The second, you get a tight monetary policy. In other words, higher interest rates. And what the interest rate I'm talking about is the federal funds target rate that the Federal Reserve does manipulate. And that's the rate that banks charge each other for 24-hour loans. Because financial institutions, banks have to maintain reserve requirements. And when they're short, what they do is borrow the excess reserves from other banks. It's there's no collateral involved. You can't get the federal funds rate. This is strictly between banks, and the Fed manipulates that rate. My argument is it shouldn't manipulate it. It should be market determined. Let the banks make a market, and they do, without being second guessed or interfered with, manipulated, however you want to describe it, by the Fed. Now, that's not what Trump is advocating. He's advocating that the Federal Reserve lower that federal funds target rate by 100 basis points or 1%, and to do that over the next roughly year. Not all at once, but the direction should be down, the magnitude would be 1%, and we need to do that to make sure the economy does not go into recession. Now, I have no problem with that, but the Fed supposedly is independent. That's a myth, folks. It's not independent. Now, why does the federal government want lower interest rates? Well, it borrows a lot of money, a lot of money. You see, Donald Trump is playing the blame game. Don't blame me, blame the Fed. They screwed up, not me, should the economy go in a recession. That's what he's going to say. Now, I'm going to say something that Fed Chairman Powell should say back. What we have here is the fundamental problem today is not monetary policy. The fundamental problem is fiscal policy. And fiscal policy, I mean how much money the government is spending and how much money it's collecting in taxes. And that is largely controlled by Congress. Yeah, the president can propose a budget, can propose changes in the tax law, but ultimately it's up to who? The House of Representatives, together with the Senate, to propose and pass both appropriation authorization bills in terms of spending, as well as tax bills. And who controls the House of Representatives today? It's the Democrats. Do you think the Democrats are going to allow Trump to get what he wants to encourage the growth in the U.S. economy? No, they're not going to go. They're not in a mood for a change in the tax laws. So until Congress, again, is controlled by the Republican Party, both the House and the Senate, you're not going to see any major tax bills. The Democrats are not going to allow it, period. You see, what I think Trump should do is, first of all, put together a comprehensive, I don't like that word, let us say fundamental tax reform bill. Run on it. If you elect Donald Trump, here is how I am going to change the tax law. Do I think Donald Trump is going to do this? No. For regular listeners, I think you know where I'm going to go. I'm a big fan of the fair tax, and especially my version of it. And there is support amongst Republicans and a few Democrats, both in the House and the Senate. We need to totally replace, scrap our income tax system. Why? It's too cumbersome. No one understands it. The estimates keep going up and up. To comply with the current tax law, it costs the American people, largely businesses, employers, over $500 billion. $500 billion. That's ridiculous, folks. We have a tax system that I call a legacy tax system. We need to go to a much simpler, fairer tax system. And that's what the fair tax is about. And what would the fair tax do, in my version of it, do? It would eliminate payroll taxes. There would be a single tax that the American people, everybody would pay the single tax when they purchase a new good or service. And that, in broad strokes, is the fair tax, or fair tax, what I call fair tax less, my version of it, is a broad-based consumption tax that totally replaces all federal taxes. At least my version of it would, and replace it by a single tax on the money you spend. And when do you pay it? When you check out. Most people don't realize when they buy, if you think about it, I think you see what you recognize, that when you buy, let's say, a dollar loaf of bread, you're paying payroll taxes and income taxes. It's estimated somewhere between 22-23% of the price of most items that the American people buy, those are federal taxes. And to buy the product, whether it's a loaf of bread, clothing, car, you got to pay the tax. The businesses have to recover it. It's built in, it's included in the price of items already. So if you replace all federal taxes, and I mean all, income taxes, personal income taxes, corporate taxes, estate and gift taxes, president mentioned capital gains, there wouldn't be a capital gains tax. Think about that for a minute. If you want a booming economy, Mr. President, you need to be bold. The problem is you're timid. You're timid. We need change, fundamental tax reform. If you want to see an investment boom and companies from around the world come to the United States, pass a fair tax or fair tax less, which means there's no tax on income and there's no tax on capital. We'd be the only country with the fair tax or fair tax less. And in conjunction with that, you need to go to balanced budgets. Limit the amount of government spending each fiscal year to 90% of last year's. Why won't this happen? You need a leader that wants to be bold. I don't think Trump is up to it, quite frankly. He has his hobby horse, and I agree with him here, that China primarily, but other nations, have been taking advantage of us. I agree. So I support the president in trying to negotiate fairer trade agreements, and that's what he's been about. Congress hasn't passed any of them yet, and we're still waiting on agreements with China and the European Union. And it's still up in the air, and that creates uncertainty as whether or not he'll ever get an agreement with China. And then what are you going to have to do? In my mind, the only way you're going to really get an agreement, you're going to have to do a total embargo on all Chinese goods. That would create a firestorm. That would get their attention. But sometimes when people have taken advantage of you, and they have, the United States, its economy, and its people for so long, they like it. They don't want it to change, especially when they think they can negotiate a better deal with the Democrats. So at some point, you got to go through the process. But what have the Chinese been doing? They've been negotiating with the language, and then a week later, a month later, 2 months later, oops, sorry, we can't agree with that. They're not negotiating in good faith. That's the sense I'm getting, which tells me sometimes you just got to hit them over the head repeatedly to get their attention. I don't start with a total embargo, but when you're dealing with the communist Chinese, they've already welched on. They were going to buy a lot of agriculture goods. Well, they haven't done it. The problem with negotiating with China, you need strong language that you have a mechanism to enforce the agreement you come up with. And I've concluded the communist Chinese are not going to do it. They're not going to do it until their back is up against the wall and you see political dissent in the streets of the major cities in China as a result of mass unemployment of Chinese labor workers. They've had it good. They've been taking advantage of not only the United States, the Europeans, other nations. And if it worked in the past, they think they can get it again. And they use bribery, folks. They use bribery. And the Democratic Party, some of its leaders do not have clean hands, but some Republicans don't have clean hands either. And that's where Donald Trump needs to get serious. I think he'll wait to next year before he, let's say, goes to the mat, reads the Riot Act, I'd love to be in the room when that happens. If it happens. If it happens. You need a backbone. I think what Trump's problem is, people have read his books. You can bluff and bluff and bluff, but if the other party knows you're a bluffer, they call your bluff. Not hard to understand. Or wait to after the next election. And I think that's exactly what they're doing. They're slow walking this. And as a result, you're not going to see any serious negotiations between North Korea and the United States on its nuclear weapons. Why? The trade agreement with China is linked to that. So unless President Trump can apply maximum pressure, and that's what we're talking about here, a complete total embargo on all Chinese goods. And what that would mean, would our retailers be impacted? Yes, they would. They would have to make, and I think many of them already have it, other sources supply for the goods that they sell in their stores. Remember, Donald Trump has been in office going on 3 years, and I'm sure you have some astute executives that have made sure that should all the goods coming out of China, there's a bar going on. In other words, they can't get into the United States. I'm sure they have one, if not a dozen or more countries as an alternative source of supply. And they're ready to pursue that option. And what they're doing right now is just waiting. Some have already pulled out of China. Now, I'm not saying I hope this happens. But if the communist Chinese do not negotiate in good faith, and I think that's been their problem as well as North Korea's problem, you don't negotiate with them. I've been in that position. You walk away. There's no middle ground. And you got to be fearless. I don't think Trump suffers from not taking it to the max, but he has to go through the motions, and he has his trade representative negotiating. It's a big team. But eventually, Trump has to get it together with them, if he hasn't already, and say, wait a minute, fellas, we've been at this now for over 2.5 years. Are we any really closer than when we started? Clearly, they've learned, or should have learned, a lot about how the Chinese negotiate. But are these people serious? Do they want our business on terms that are equitable both to the American people and the businesses that buy these goods, as well as the Chinese? So you have to look at both the trade situation and the tax situation. You see, I don't see Donald Trump coming up with a comprehensive, fundamental tax reform bill. Let me be the first to say, it's not going to pass as long as the Democrats control the House. You need to run on it, Mr. President. You need to run on it to get a mandate. And I think he's going to win in a landslide. The time is now for fundamental tax reform. And take it to the people. Get a mandate from the people. If you elect me, we no longer will have a tax system based on income. We will collect our taxes based on when you spend the money. You, the American citizen, control when you pay the tax and how much. Now, my version, the tax is 20% on the price of the item. It's already built in. You wouldn't have an additional tax. In other words, a loaf of bread today has roughly 23 cents, 23%. If you go to a fare tax and you collect it as people check out, what the retail store does is send the money that's built into the price first to the state and then to the federal government. We won't have income tax returns anymore. Think about that. We automatically save over $500 billion in compliance cost. And what we do is dramatically make the United States the place in the world to invest. So all that plant and equipment that we've been losing for 20, 30 years, it's not going to come back all at once, but would dramatically reverse and come back to the United States. You need a big idea that the American people can get behind. And the fair tax has been out there. It's been studied and studied and studied. Why hasn't it been passed? Because it's a bad idea? No, it's not a bad idea. It's an outstanding idea. But you have the status quo. You have the Democratic Party and the Republican Party like the system the way it is, and they get campaign contributions from employers that like the system the way it is. People don't like fundamental change, even if in the long run it benefits them. So Donald Trump needs to start thinking out of the box. Will he? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Now, in addition to, let me briefly say a few more words on the fare tax, my version of it. The rate is 20%. It's included in the price of all items. Already it's included. It's a small tax cut, first of all. Does away with the income tax system, estate tax, capital gains taxes, and most importantly, payroll tax. The single tax that most Americans pay in terms of numbers are payroll taxes. Of the bottom 50% federal income tax personal income taxpayers, the bottom 50% pays less than 3% of the income tax. Most of them pay none or very, very, very little. What do they pay a lot of? Payroll tax. They need payroll tax relief. If you go to a broad-based consumption tax along the lines of either the fair tax or fair tax less, there are no more payroll taxes. That's why I say your whatever your gross pay salary is, that's your pay. There are no more deductions for payroll. What I'm talking about is Social Security, Medicare, disability. No. Why? We get the revenue from the consumption tax. That's why it's 20%. The fair tax rate is 23%. Both of those rates are included in the price of the good. It's embedded or included in the price. It's not an additional tax. You're already paying it, folks. And if you go to my fair tax less, first of all, you pay slightly less. Not 23%, 20%. The other difference, actually, there are three. Mine is not revenue neutral. The fair tax people decided to make it there, the fair tax revenue neutral, which means it raised the same amount of revenue. Mine doesn't. Why? What's the problem today? Spending is out of control. It is out of control. Neither party has the ability to balance a budget. So whatever the fair tax collects, let's say it went into effect 2021. In 2022, how much would the government spend? 90% of what it collected in 2021. That's it. What's the other 10% for? To pay down the national debt. Congress would still have responsibility to balance the budget, but it would have to make the tough decisions that it simply cannot make today. They would know they could not spend or appropriate more than 90% of what the tax collection is. That's what I call a real constraint. And the reason you have to do that, it's clear to me, decades of evidence, it doesn't matter who controls Congress, who controls the president. Neither political party is up to the job in balancing the budget. So you take it away from them. You're going to have to pass the law, but you say, listen, whatever we collect this year, you can only spend 90% of it, period. No side deals. And we're going to get back to budgeting, not these continuing resolutions. So while you need fundamental tax reform along the lines of a broad-based consumption tax, you also need to balance the budget. I mean, really balance the budget, not this the games they play today. We're talking real cuts, folks, which means they're going to have to cut spending, close departments. What's the number one economic problem facing the United States of America today? It's out of control federal government spending. Who's to blame? Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate and the presidency. Donald Trump can blame the Fed all he wants, and I actually agree with him, but I would not have done it in public. I would have done it in private. Jerome, you made a mistake. Correct your mistake. You got 6 months or 8 months, you pick a number, to cut it by 100 basis points or 1%. Capiche? Do you understand? Yes, sir. And that's what should have happened. You didn't have to embarrass them. But the Federal Reserve, per its history, makes mistakes all the time. See, I would do away with the Federal Reserve. But I know that if the fair tax would be difficult to pass, doing away with the Federal Reserve is almost impossible. Oh, I think it could be done. But the problem you run into is, let's be brutally honest here. Most people don't follow economics in general, but monetary policy in particular very well. Look at the recent explanations of the inverted yield curve. Will Donald Trump come up with a bold fundamental reform of both our tax system and our budget? I don't think so. I do not think so. And this is his last chance. Either he does it next year, goes to the American people, spell it out. I can spell it out in 20 minutes. If pushed, I can do it in 5 minutes. It's not hard to understand. We're replacing all federal taxes, payroll taxes, income taxes, capital gains tax, estate and gift taxes, all federal taxes. We're replacing it with one single tax, fair tax less. And you, the American people, will pay not every year or every quarter. You decide when you pay the tax when you buy a new good or service. And the rate is 20%. It's not an additional tax. You're already paying it, folks. This is actually a tax cut from approximately 23% to 20%. And I've saved this for last, and this is where he would hit a home run. We're going to make sure that fair tax less is fair by making it graduated. What does that mean? Everyone pays the tax, 20%. But we recognize that the burden of taxation should not be on either people that are not working or people that are low to middle income. So to make the tax progressive up front, every single U.S. citizen age 18 or over would get a monthly check, would receive a check from the federal government for $1,000. Now, what are people that are making no money or very little money going to do with that $1,000? They're going to spend it, folks. They're going to spend it. When they spend it, what's going to happen? Let's say they spend the whole thing. Most likely they would spend the whole thing. 20% would be taxed. What that means is, let's say you're right in the middle class. You spend in a year $60,000. Assume you're single. You're going to, when you spend $60,000, 20% of that, or $12,000, you're going to be paying in taxes, the fair tax less. If you pay more, you're obviously going to pay more. It's 20%. Everybody pays the 20%. But what's the effective rate? If you spend $60,000, the tax is $12,000. 20% of $60,000 is $12,000. But you've gotten every month a check for $1,000, a total of $12,000. So it's a wash. You're not going to pay any taxes. In other words, just for an example, if you're single, pay $60,000 and every adult gets the prebate. So if you're a married couple, the husband gets a $1,000 check and the wife gets a $1,000 check. The check is made out to individuals. Everybody gets it, from the poorest to the richest. But what are people going to do? They're going to spend most of it, especially if they're low to middle income. Now, the people that are super rich, like Donald Trump, a $1,000 check is not going to mean much to him. My point is this. This would be a popular tax. When do you hear those two words together? A popular tax? No tax is popular. This would be popular. Why? No more tax returns. No more tax returns. Actually, this is a tax cut. And you decide how little or how much and when you're going to pay the taxes. When you decide to consume a new good or service. It doesn't apply to used goods or services such as used cars or used homes. It's only new goods or services. In effect, the United States would be the only economy in the world where neither income or capital is taxed. There are no taxes on capital gains. So you have a strong, strong incentive to save. Save your money and invest. Why? If you invest well and wisely, when you sell your investment, there's no tax on it. If Donald Trump would be bold and be an advocate for the fair tax, or my version of it, fair tax less, not only would he be reelected, he'll go down in history as fundamentally reforming to the better our tax system as well as the way we go about spending money. Right now, it's totally out of control. This sucker is gonna crash and burn. There will be a day of reckoning because neither party, Democrat or Republican, will limit the size, the scope, and the role of the federal government. That's what you got to take out of their hands by saying you can only spend 90% of what was collected last year. Now, how you spend it is up to you, but that is the budget constraint. 90% of past year's tax collections. Will Donald Trump do it? Doubt it. I don't think it's hard to explain it. I said I took less than 20 minutes. Yeah, I'll be the first to say, what sells this? I'm going to get a $1,000 check a month 12 times? Yeah. Good, good, good. This encourages what? Hard work. It encourages savings. It encourages investment. How do you get our workers more productive? They need more capital to work with. To have more capital to work with, people have to save their money. Not only people, but firms. This would be a popular tax cut. A popular way to budget on the federal level. Now, I do not expect the leadership of either party to come out for it. They're against it. They're for the status quo. They're not for change. That's why it takes a president to get behind this, and he needs to take it to the American people and sell it to the American people. Now, Donald Trump takes great pride that he's a salesman. Well, Mr. Trump, I'm giving you the challenge. Call it the Prompt Challenge. Sell it to the American people. I don't think it takes much to sell it. I don't think this is hard. I think this is relatively easy compared to the mess that we have as a tax system and massively out of control government spending. But it does take courage. It does take a person with a vision and, most importantly, an idea, a message that resonates with the overwhelming majority of the American people. You would win in a landslide. Will it happen? I hope it happens, but I've seen nothing to date that gives me any hope that Donald Trump will finally come up with a big idea that excites the American people, excites businesses, and encourages other businesses around the world to come back to the United States, because that's the economy that encourages investment, encourages hard work. We want to be in the United States, and we're going to use American workers to build those goods and services. Well, that was my brief speech on what Donald Trump needs to do. Am I optimistic? Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm not optimistic, but it needs to be done. We can't continue $1,000 billion deficits as far as the eye can see. That is beyond unsustainable. That's irresponsible. It burdens future generations of the American people. Now, what else happens? So the president is trying to see what he can do, and it's not very much, quite frankly, because his hands are more or less tied, because the Democratic Party is not going to support him. That's a given. They didn't give him any money for the wall. He's not going to get any money for the wall, and they're not going to give him fundamental tax reform unless you go to the American people. Make this the issue. Nationalize this issue. Now, what are the big lie media, the Trump haters, the radical extremists, Democrat socialists, the Reds, what are they hoping for? What are they hoping for? That the United States economy goes into a recession. And let me tell you, if you elect them, given what they want to do, it will go into recession. They will break. As far as I'm concerned, the budget is broken already. They would destroy any illusions that there's a budgetary process. There's no budgetary. That's why they have these continuing resolutions after continuing revolutions and then put everything into a big package. This is what you get when neither party is responsible, financially responsible. They're all big spending parties. But they want the U.S. economy to go to recession so they can win. That, sad to say, is what they're about. Why are they making sounds like the United States economy is in a recession? It's not. Objectively, and I'm not a Democrat or Republican, the U.S. economy is not in a recession. It's growing. Could it grow a lot more? Yes, but not until you make some fundamental changes. The most important one is get control of and start balancing budgets, but also tax reform. Would you vote for any candidate party that, now, let me make clear, the candidates are not going to say, well, I'm for the economy going into recession. They're not going to say that. What they'll say is, I'm for a tax increase, a huge tax increase. I'm for the following entitlement programs, Medicare for all, free education. What do you think that's going to do to the U.S. economy? It's going to crash it. It's going to put it in a recession. You know, Donald Trump in his speeches say, well, if you elect these Reds, these radical extremist Democrat socialists, we're going to go in a recession. I think he's 100% right. These people, the Reds, are clueless. They're dangerous. They're clueless. Now, do I really think they're going to get elected? I don't think they should. And my gut is saying, please, make sure they're not elected. They would put us in, as far as I'm concerned, a deep recession, if not depression, if the Democratic Party, one of these Reds candidates, is elected president. I don't think they will be. I think they will be rejected by the American people. Pocketbook issues matter. Jobs matter. And I would never vote for any candidate that is hoping that the economy goes into recession so they could get elected. Recessions and depressions hurt the American people. Remember, in 1933, March, that was when FDR was sworn in, the unemployment rate was 24.9%. In other words, one out of every four workers was out of work. Economic policies matter. But did FDR get us out of the recession? No. Neither did Hoover. They were both good examples of big government, Republican and Democrat, that really didn't have a clue how to get us out of recession. And because of that, the Great Depression lasted and really until after World War II. Some would say 1940. Well, the way they solved the unemployment problem is they drafted millions of people into the armed forces. Oh yeah, you got a hot meal, you got a uniform, and you're shipped off to hopefully maybe survive, but many of them die. War is the way that politicians solve economic problems. Take the nation to war. And that's why they do it over and over again. So yes, the big lie media, your television networks, your newspapers, tried this week, and they're continuing to do it, they don't give up, to talk the U.S. economy into a recession. Well, the American people don't believe it. And like I said last show, have you heard of all the layoffs, major layoffs across the country? No, you haven't. Why? There haven't been any. The economy is growing. And next Thursday, we'll know by how much. I say probably between 2 and 3%, more towards 2%. The economy is slowing down. The only way it's going to go above, get back to the historical average of between 3 and 3.5% is we need a bold program, a bold way that captures the imagination and gets the people excited about what? Taxes, fundamental tax reform. Now, I'm not being naive here. People are going to say, I'm going to get a check for $1,000 a month. And that's not Santa Claus socialist. What we're doing is making the fair tax a progressive up front, and you see it. And let me summarize, everybody pays the same rate. There's one tax rate, 20%. And it's not an additional tax. Price of goods, whatever they are, bread, milk, clothing, should slightly go down. And then whatever the business receives, because remember, there's no more payroll taxes, no more income taxes, no more capital gains tax, no more estate tax, no more gift tax. We've done away with all federal taxes and replaced it with one single broad-based consumption tax. So when you buy a good of service, and they should break it out on the receipt, a dollar loaf of bread, of that dollar, 20 cents is for the tax. And then the retailer sends it to the federal government, less a small fee for collecting. And then we get back to balanced budget. None of this $1,000 billion deficits as far as the eye can see. What's the challenge here? You need leadership. You need a communicator that can communicate this. And the American people need to get behind this. And I think they will if you explain it well. We need to get out of the financial mess that the federal government is in. And I'm totally convinced if you leave it up to the people that are there, they're not going to do it. This has to be a grassroots from the American people way forward. A new direction, a new tax system, a new spending system that is constrained by the taxes we collect. Is Donald Trump up to it? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not optimistic. We need a leader, but what we really need is people around the United States supporting whoever that leader is that will make these fundamental changes happen. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.